The team at Violent Gentlemen saw what I could do at their weekly skate and decided it was time to make our relationship official. Proud to announce the newest sponsor of the Eat 'Em Up podcast, Orange County's finest Violent Gentlemen Hockey Club.
Eat 'Em Up, episode 44. What's going on, Orange Country? For us, no playoffs. Right? We already look ahead for what's to come as an organization. It's getting juicier and juicier, and look, our offseason just began. So how fun is this? We get to sit back, let kind of our rivals squander in the playoffs. We get to watch them choke. We'll talk about that in a second. While we sit back, we analyze what we got going on in our own backyard, and we try to improve. And I mean, the first couple games of playoffs, talking to Steph, our producer here, before we hopped on live. And look, we'll see. Game ones of a lot of these series, we got better. We know we got better. There's a couple. The Leafs game, I mean, Ottawa came out super hot. And that's we're gonna start with that series. Game one. Sens at Leafs. Place was buzzing. The teachers union there in Toronto owns, I think, half the team. And sometimes the sayings in regards to that Toronto building, quieter, too businesslike, yada, yada, yada. The place was buzzing. And I don't know if half the place was filled with rowdy Toronto area teachers. I don't know. But for their sake, they got to keep it going because the crowd was electric. And Ottawa was the better team. I mean, Ottawa came out of the gate flying, relentless, foaming at the mouth, wanting to be first to every loose puck, and they were making the Leafs turn it over. And they were the better team. They were so hungry right out of the gate. Not until 7:09 into the first, where Ekman-Larsson received a beauty of a pass from Scott Laughton. Only good things happen when you delay. What does Scott Laughton do there on the far side? He just pulls up. I keep trying to tell you, pull up. When in doubt, on the ozone entry, pull up. Good things happen. He finds a second wave, and Ekman-Larsson streaking through. Ekman-Larsson makes no mistake on that finish right over the pad there. Marner's breakaway was nasty. He went back to the forehand. He put it shelf. Stolarz with an interesting one. Took that play for granted, right? Not freezing that puck right away. It's playoffs. Come on, freeze that thing right away. And he's taken aback. So was I. Uncharacteristic mistake from Stolarz. And Batherson capitalized. Look, I think Ottawa takes his first game if they stay out of the freaking penalty box. My gosh, boys. Come on, I know you're hungry. I know it's playoffs. I know you're antsy. You haven't been there in a while, but freaking control it. Willie Styles, look, that was a nice shot. I think Omar, well, hopefully for the Sens' sake, he's just a tad better on some of these goals against. Some of them were great shots, but you look at some. If Toronto doesn't get the power play opportunities, I mean, out of their last four goals, three were on the Peepers. Boys, stay out of the sin bin. Sens had 56 hits. Hello! 56 hits. That is crashing and banging. That's called crash and bang hockey right there when you total 56. That's like, I haven't seen a number like that since way, way back. Way, way back. And look, I got Leafs continue on and winning this in six. It's going to be a dogfight. It really is. It's just a little bit more star power, of course, with the Leafs, along with Stolarz, who, look, he doesn't even prove anyone right, and no one's doubting him anymore. I mean, that's when he didn't freeze that puck, and then that thing squirted loose. I was like, oh my, we haven't seen that in a while, but I think that's the worst. his best is in front of him, and it was a goaltending war. A lot of these games, I mean, how about the goaltending? It's always a goaltending duel in playoffs. It really is. But whether it's Gustafson, and we'll get to that in a second with the Wild, whether it's Markstrom, we'll get to that. He was lights out. This game, Stolarz and Omar, I mean, look, yeah, there was some good, but there was some good saves as well. Panthers at Lightning. That starts tomorrow. Late start for that series. So those guys have some rest time, recoup after the long, tough seasons. Spend some time, quality time with the wife and kids. So those guys will be ready to go tomorrow, puck drop. We have Caps at Habs tonight. We have Habs at Caps tonight. I don't get why people are just getting way too ahead of themselves. And hey, the Habs can, I think they can take that. No. Come on. Ovi? They're saying, oh, Ovi, you know, he that was what they wanted to accomplish this season. No. Ovi's a different dog. Dylan Strome's a different dog. He's lights out. Chychrun has been playing at a whole nother level. What a contract that way. I mean, look, there's times within some of these games there for the Caps at Chychrun, he just looks like a $10, $11 million guy based off of what some other $10, $11 million guys are making. I know he's at 8-9 area on this upcoming extension. But look, he's been lights out. They got the goaltending. They got everything. So don't be saying Habs in whatever. I got Caps in 5 games. And they're going to put a stop to that nonsense real quick. We have, of course, Devils at Canes. That was not really a highly competitive tilt as far as evenness is concerned. Freddie let in that soft one there. But other than that, he was phenomenal. And boy, was Markstrom spectacular. This might have been 8-1. This might have been an 8-1 game if it wasn't for Marky Mark there. And no Jack Hughes. Look, it's an uphill battle. It was since the start without Jack Hughes. You have Jesper Bratt. He's going to be willing and dealing out there, moving his feet and being shifty. And he was looking good. He was trying to make things happen. You have Hershier. He had that brilliant shot that beat Freddie. I mean, that was a tough angle. I think 9 times out of 10, Freddie's got that on lock, but he got beat that time off a nice shot. Devils have no shot. As much as I want to say sweep, if Markstrom can win him a game himself and, you know, Hershier, you know, him and maybe Stefan Nason has a game, and Jesper Bratt and these guys that are relied upon, maybe Meyer tucks 2-1 and they snag a game. That's as far as I'm going with that. So I'm going to say Canes in 5. Before we get to now the best conference, the Western Conference, let's take a listen to Jesse Pollock, of course, Bar Down's head honcho. See what he has to say about, is this Jets team for real? Are they a bunch of pretenders? Let's hear from Jesse.
You know, that Ducks game, it was really, really nice to end the season off on a positive note like that. Give us some momentum going into the playoffs. And I will say this, the Jets are looking pretty damn good right now. And it sucks that we're missing 2 of our best players. That is brutal, but this is a deep team. I think this is the year that Helly really proves what he's all about. About to win his 3rd Vezina in 4 years. This is the year he takes it to the next step in the playoffs. And I will say this, man. I think there's a very bright future ahead of the Ducks. Going to be interesting to see who they hire as their head coach, but a lot of good young talent on this team. Really like Jackson Lacombe. Let's go, baby. I'm into the Ducks. I don't mind them at all. So, yeah, man. Hope to talk to you soon. And you better be cheering for the Jets, man. You better be. That's all I got to say. Can't be cheering for any teams in the Pacific.
Thanks for that, Jesse. And you got to respect Jesse because, boy, is he ride or die. boy, is he ride or die for his Jets squad. You always appreciate someone who is cheering for the small, you know, ma-pa club, right? The Winnipeg Jets. Look, we got nothing to be jealous about the Winnipeg Jets. We just don't. Hey, look, we got better unis. The unis are just okay for them. And I like that the alternate for the powder blue there with the Jets writing. I think that should be their go-to if you were to ask me. But at the same time, look, they've always been pretenders as far as lights out regular season teams have been able to get it done for the most part in the playoffs. And they've had some really good teams, like really good teams, including this year. And you need all the pieces. Nikolaj Ehlers, he's out. But they found a way there in that first game. 4-goal first period between both clubs. This was a fun one to watch, wasn't it? It just a lot of offense. How about Cam Fowler holding that play in there? Just a little chip there to Robert Thomas there on the far side. He makes no mistake. But 4 goals in the first period. Blues go up 3-2, and then you think it's like, okay, this is over. The TSN turning point was the Entite B-way from Kyrou, that Hellebuck stop. How about that? That was a big-time save. It would have made it 4-2 for the Blues, and then you can pretty much say it's enough to hang on if you're the Blues. How about the late-game heroics from Kyle Connor? I mean, that was fun to watch. Hey, those are the type of games, when you think playoff hockey, you think atmosphere in the white out there, you think just the game's best players rising to the occasion when it matters most, Michael Jordan flu game style. That's why we watch. And boy, was that one time, no mistake, a beauty from Kyle Connor after a late game tie. I mean, that was fun to watch. How about that empty net miss? Banks off the yellow behind the net and then goes right to Lowry. I mean, even the empty netter kept you on the edge of your seat. So thanks, Jesse. You know what? We're going to be... We're Orange Country. We're not going to be ruined for anybody. But me personally, I don't mind seeing your Jets have success. I got your Jets in 7 games. It's going to be a dogfight. That's going to be like that Toronto-Ottawa. It's going to be even a more of a dogfight. Maybe even the biggest dogfight here in this round one. Because just because Jets went up a game, this is going to be back and forth. I'm anticipating St. Louis snags this next one, and then you go into Enterprise Center there. It gets rowdy in there too. So it's going to be back and forth. I got Jets in 7 just because, A, I've doubted them before, and it's came back to just totally bite me in the behind. I'm not going to make that mistake again. And Jesse, I got you because you got Duckstream.
If you love today's content, then I'd love for you to take a trip over to VGHC.com or stop by their Costa Mesa flagship store to see what the club is cooking up for hockey fans worldwide. Game 1, Avs at Stars. Yes, this was an interesting one because the Dallas Stars, what the heck, man, coming out looking like a might team. They were brutal there the first few shifts, 3-4. Maybe 4 or so minutes in the game. They were terrible. And they were discombobulated. And they started to come along. And boy, was Mackenzie Blackwood just stellar. That's what I'm talking about. The goaltending eliteness so far we've seen through these first games. I mean, Blackwood was highlight reel, save after save material. Look, first 2 goals for Colorado, they don't make them as greasy as those first 2 goals. They just don't. And then Dallas, I don't know. Are they starting to show the whole National Hockey League that they're the new pretenders? Are they the new pretenders? Are they
kind of how I was talking about the Jets team, how great regular season, and they just cannot get it done in the playoffs. We shall find out here next couple. I got Avs in six. Wild and Golden Knights. Wild, I think that was as good as they're going to play. That's just my prediction. That's my honest. I don't think they can play much better than that. Kaprizov, he was making things happen. He was lights out. Boldy, look, they only showed stuff really from that line, right? The first line. I mean, that Boldy finish there. No, I mean, the wraparound too, but it's from that pass from Kaprizov, who slings it 65 feet like that, just ripped it, and to be able to collect that puck, being zipped that way, collect it, and then methodically put it far side. Just perfectly played. That was something special. That's, I think, as good as it's going to get for the Wild. And it was another goaltending duel. I mean, Gustafson was lights out. Hill made some big-time saves. Shea Theodore, how about when he undressed Matt Zuccarello there? Zucchi, he came out a little bit, and then it was just a little pull-in, push-out, big-time save by Gustafson. That was a pretty play. Tomas Hertl, how good is he? That was a great pickup from San Jose. It's one of those things where, yeah, we all know Hertl was good, but he has come over to Vegas there and just turned into the playoff guy that they obviously saw. So good behind the goal line, so good around the blue paint. He's not built for tough because he's Czech, but he's built playoff tough. I can really tell you that. I could tell you that right now. Yeah, Gustafson was phenomenal. I got Vegas sweep in this series. I really do. How about this? Last but not least, we have our great friend, Carolyn Bathe, and she has a take here that we're about to listen to that legitimately persuaded me to pick the bad guys. Yes. Unfortunately, I got a side with the Kings for this first round because Carolyn told me to do so, pretty much. Let's take a listen.
Emerson, if you looked up deja vu in the dictionary, it would say Kings, Oilers, first round of the playoffs. I cannot believe these two are meeting up yet again for the fourth consecutive season. We've seen the story before. This time, it's going to have a different ending, and the Kings are coming out on top. Here's why. First off, Kings are starting with home ice advantage. This is something that means more to the Kings this season than it would the Oilers. Why is that? Well, they won 31-6-4 at home this season. That was the best home record in franchise history. Also the best home record in all of the NHL during the regular season. That is unbelievable. And, you know, that gives them energy, obviously playing in front of a home crowd, but they're also going to get the matchups that they want, a better chance to control things early and maybe gain some momentum in this series. So huge difference for the Kings right off the hop there, starting with home ice. Another huge difference is Darcy Kuemper between the pipes. The Kings did not have this level of elite goaltending in the previous years. They've got it now. His season, 31-11-7 was his record. 2.02 goals against average. 921 save percentage. 5 shutouts. Why is this man not in a Vezina candidate conversation? Hellebuck, yes, I see you. You're wonderful. But my goodness, Darcy Kuemper should be in the conversation. Emerson, he was an absolute brick wall. I just hope he keeps it up during the playoffs. Let's look real quick at the forward depth that the Kings have this season that they did not have in previous years. Quinton Byfield finally being able to move to center, where he was originally drafted as a center. He had a career year, put up 23 goals, 54 points, and gives the Kings the ability to take on Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl at greater depths than they were ever able to in previous matchups. Anze Kopitar up top, followed by Phil Deneau, followed by Quentin Byfield. I'll even throw the fourth line in there. If Sammy Hellenius, all six of him, finds himself out there matched up against Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid, sure, he can take him on too. But the Kings have depth that they did not have before in previous years. And also, special shout out to newcomer Andre Kuzmenko. Came over at the deadline. The Kings didn't take too many big swings. They just acquired him to try to find a fit for the top line. And he has developed some incredible chemistry with Andre Kopitar and Adrian Kempe. He's been on the first unit for the power play and really sparked the power play, kind of turned things around, because before he came over, it was clicking at around 15% or so. And then since the deadline, it surged up to almost 24%. That's due in part to his creativity down by the goal line, his improvisation skills, the spark that he brings with just his personality. What an acquisition for this team. Emerson, I will leave you with this. Special teams will be the difference. The Kings have an improved penalty kill. They are ready to take on a lethal Oilers power play, and they may exploit some of their weaknesses this season. I feel like there's some lingering injuries. They don't have as strong of goaltending with Stuart Skinner this season. I think the Kings are going to pull this off. They're winning the series. Kings in five. I'm calling it now.
Gosh darn it, Carolyn. Why do you got to drop so much heat like that? So anyway, because of Carolyn's take, I can't say anything. No lies detected. I need to go with the Kings because everything she said right there is spot on. That home record, you start at home. That's huge. I love that last drop of Kuzmenko there at the end, because that has, A, you got to, you know, give credit where credit's due with Blakey. Look, he's had some questionable moves in the past, way more positive moves, that's for sure. And add that one to the list, because it wasn't working out in Calgary. It didn't work out in Philly for the cup of coffee there. But boy, has it been working out with LA. The rich get richer. Adrian Kempe, he's added a whole nother gear because of it. Andre Kopitar, he's been able to just expand on his already just unbelievable horizon because of the addition on that line, and they've been lights out. I like that box in one style on their power play. I don't know if that was something that they were doing early on, but boy, did we feel it there at crypto.com when the good guys were there. That was a tough pill to swallow. Some questionable calls. We know that. We talked about that. But when it was all said and done and Kings were on the peepers, keeping that puck on the outside, and then that quick little pop-out play from Byfield that they try to hit constantly. It just, you don't see it too often. Once again, some of the best power plays I've seen, they really utilize the flanks and the two flanks on both sides, hitting the blue line, coming down with the puck, either seaming it over, shooting it, but the box and one, clearly other stuff wasn't working. Well, that box and one, the power play there, that's working for them. Yeah, was that Noel Brown? He's, of course, the power play coach there and the assistant coach there with the Kings, a former longtime coach here with the Anaheim Ducks. We appreciate you, Noel. And don't know if that was his doing, but they turned it around. Let's see if they can continue on here into playoffs. And how about Warren Fogel? How about that acquisition by Blakey? Add that one to one of the better ones, if not top three discussion of pickups, because he's a playoff player. He went deep last season and knows what it takes to get to that point in the playoffs. He's such a good forechecker. He is a Quentin Byfield without that offensive side, but he can still get it done offensively. He's got a nice snapper. He's got a great shot. But he constantly tries to get on the inside. He's ferocious on the forecheck, and he doesn't stop skating. He is an upgrade from Arvidsson when the Kings lost him, because he was an energizer bunny. I mean, he absolutely went. He's had somewhat of off here in Edmonton, but that Warren Fogle, I mean, he's good. And he's going to be another reason why I got the Kings in six. How about Carolina with five? Whoa, I got Kings in six. But make no mistake, I would not be making this selection if it weren't for that take we heard. I can't stand those guys up the freeway. I just can't stand it, and neither can you, and neither should you. Well, moving on. We got our chirp for this epi. So you're just in yet another beer league game. Maybe it's a back-to-back. You fill in for a buddy that couldn't make it, and you're playing back-to-back games, whatever. Whatever the scenario is in your adult league game. Here's something for you. Why don't you chirp you put in your arsenal, in your tool bag, is you go up to someone, someone's giving you a lip, and you just say, hey, bud, I've seen better hands on a digital clock. How about that one? Just toss that out there. Use that within your repertoire now. You'll thank me later. I'm sure you have some other great ones, and I'll keep, just giving food for thought for you. What to expand on, and I look forward to that. But yeah, just let them know how bad the hands are. Get them riled up, and then use one of your go-to. You'll thank me later. Final thought, Zane Preck. I had this guy, and I don't even know how I still have a job here with the Anaheim Ducks. I'm grateful to just be in the seat still, because I predicted Zane Preck winning the Calder this year. Just went way out of left field. And picked him for Calder. That's my bad. That's my bad. Okay? I'm here. I live to see another day. I'm extremely thankful, but sometimes guys lose jobs over predictions like that. Just wild, outlandish predictions. He spent the year in the Ontario Hockey League. He dominated once again. And to my credit, look, let's call it what it is. He comes into his first National Hockey League game at the end of this past season. He goes 1-for-1. One game played, one goal. He plays 20-plus minutes. He's plus +3. Look, was he a Calder Trophy candidate? No, he didn't play in the league all year. But my gosh, can the kid play? And now I'm going to try to save myself once again. I'm gonna have him. I'm gonna go off on a limb here, and I'm putting him top three in the Calder finalists for this upcoming season. It's gonna be another competitive race. It really is. You got some players here that are really making names for themselves. And look, maybe do we see Ivan Demidov? Right? He's a guy that we saw what he's done already with the Habs. Let's see what kind of impact he makes here tonight versus the Caps in his first National Hockey League playoff game. He's been dynamite so far. I anticipate him being in that top three discussion. And hey, does Beckett Seneca? I'm tossing it out there. Does he play with the big boys? We shall see. Certainly looks ready, right? He's dominated that Ontario Hockey League this season. It seems as if he's pretty much letting the whole world know, hey, I'm too good for this league. I'm ready for the big boys. We shall see. We hope he's on the squad, and no matter what, dominating, continuing to get better, no matter where he is. Thanks for tuning in. It was a fun one. It is going to be a lights out free agency season. I can't wait to see who the good guys hire as their head coach. I know neither can you. And so much to talk about moving forward. Can't wait. Catch you next time.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.